Welcome back into another episode of the Huskers Radio Network podcast. I'm Jessica Cootie, and for today's Cornhusker conversation, so very, very excited to welcome in today's guest. She's a national champion, potential Olympian coming up at this year's Summer Olympics, and is just an incredible student athlete here at the University of Nebraska. Rima Otaiba from track and field, and you guys are coming up. You've got the NCAA championships coming up, but thank you so much for stopping by and spending some time with us.
Yes, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start off the top. You're from the Bahamas, so you have the awesome Bahamian accent.
Thank you.
How did you get here? Tell us your journey to how you got to Nebraska.
Okay, so essentially, I had planned to go off to school in the States. I started off in Florida, actually, at Florida International University. And after spending 2 years down at Florida, I decided that there's more that I want to accomplish, but I didn't know if it was exactly the institution that was going to allow me to do the things that I kind of wanted to do, especially in regards to athletics. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to go into the transfer portal, and Nebraska was one of those schools that reached out to me. And I came down on a visit. I enjoyed the visit, and I don't know, long story short, here I am.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. So you are, again, the national champion, reigning national champion in the women's javelin. You and Axelina both won a title and first women for Nebraska track and field that have done that since 2006. But how did you get into throwing the javelin? Take us back all the way from the start, how you got into to track and field and how you started in the javelin.
Okay, so I essentially had been in the track and field world, but more so on the track. Like when I was younger, I ran, and then I even did like the 400. It killed me though. And then I migrated more into softball, and I played softball for a really long time.
Wow.
I enjoyed it. I loved it. And then when I entered high school, we have this Bahamian inter-school competition called BAISS, and my high school coach at the time, we needed somebody to fill in for my age category in the javelin. And my brother threw javelin already. I played softball. And my high school coach might have thought, like, maybe something would work out. You're athletic. So maybe we could get some points from this event if we put you in it. And so that's what he did. We worked on it for, like, maybe a month. And then I went out there. I competed. And I actually did a lot better than I thought I would. And so that was encouraging. But I would always, like, after track and field season back home would end, I would always put the javelin down and go back to softball. And
wow.
I did that for, like, maybe 2 years until in 2018. I had qualified for, like, a regional competition called CARIFTA. So all the Caribbean countries would come together and compete against each other. And magically, I made the team. And I did really well there. And I had a blast with my first true track and field experience. With a national team. And from there, like, I decided to make the switch from softball to track and field completely.
Wow, that's amazing. So did you find then, I guess, the throwing the softball was a little bit, did it translate to throwing the javelin?
I would say so. In fact, a lot of other really good javelin throwers had a background in softball. So I would say, yeah, softball probably did play a big role with helping me develop really good jab skills or translating jab, yeah.
That's awesome. Maddie Harris was a big softball player. I think she was even committed. So, yeah, it must translate. So what did you love about it then, once you started being pretty good at it, when you decided to go all in on javelin?
Okay, so obviously when you realize you're good at something, you want to keep pursuing it. So that definitely was one catalyst. And then I had a sit-down conversation with my coach from back home, and he was, like, basically explaining to me, like, how much doors, like, track and field could potentially open for me. And that was the next thing that kind of, like, pulled me in. And then just the community that I started developing when I was in the track and field world, I was like, oh, this is awesome. I like this. And so I think just a compilation of those three things kind of pulled me in. But, yeah.
How big is track and field in the Bahamas?
I would say it's pretty big.
Yeah,
it's one of the it's one of the higher up sports that people tend to compete in and participate in. So yeah, it's relatively big.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. So when you decided to transfer here to Nebraska, how much did Justin St. Clair play a role in that? I mean, he's one of the best javelin coaches in the world, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That definitely did play a big factor, because one thing I tried to look into when I entered the transfer portal is schools that not only would have the education that I wanted or have the major that I wanted to go into, but it was who had a really good track and field program, more specifically a JAV program, and who would be the like right type of coach that would, I think, would help me excel, you know. And just Coach Justin definitely was somebody that stood out to me. And so he did play a big role into me coming to the school, yes.
So you immediately get here and you start breaking records. You still break records, program records for Nebraska track and field, and then you go on to win the national title. What went into that a year ago and to be able to be stand on top of the podium?
Well, one thing I will say is the training was kind of different than what I was used to. Like, we incorporated some gymnastics, which is something I've never done. And it definitely helped with, like, mobility, but also strengthening me in certain positions that I probably never really worked as much. We put a lot more emphasis on changing my run-up. Like, I used to be, I used to think speed was everything. And not saying that speed doesn't help, it definitely does. But we focused a lot more on slowing down and making sure I hit certain positions in my run-up. And when my run-up changed, I was able to be more consistent with throwing the javelin. I was able to hit, throw the javelin a lot stronger. I hit my positions a lot stronger. And I don't know, like, I guess just changes in those things kind of helped a lot. And then also knowing that I could trust what I was doing, trust the program that I was doing, and also really encouraged me to, you know, go all in terms of, I always go all in dedication, but it just made me more confident in what I was doing. And so all that just helped me, I think, to make it on top of the podium, definitely.
Not very many people can say they're a national champion. So how did it feel when you won that title?
For starters, my regional meet before the national meet shook me up a lot. Like, I barely scraped in. And so when I went to nationals and I was able to do what I did, I had no words. I was so happy. I had no words. And I had always dreamed of accomplishing that. And I hope to do it again this year, you know. But when it actually came true, I was beyond elated, you know. I had no words, yeah.
How special was it to get to, you know, do that alongside Axelina, and you guys bring home two national titles back to Lincoln?
Mm-hmm. It was amazing, you know. Like, I know Axelina, and she's an amazing athlete herself, you know. She not only represents Nebraska, but she also represents her home country, Sweden. Mm-hmm. And so being able to do that alongside her just was amazing, yeah.
So you, after that, you go compete at several of the worlds and other things that you were, I think, the Bahamian national champion, all kinds of things. So how did that propel you into going into this season?
It definitely gave me a base, or it gave me like a new starting point. Like, I had the momentum of what I did last year to go into this year, for sure. And it also kind of set a mark. Like, I achieved this last year, let's see if we could go higher.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's kind of what I use it as.
So once you really burst out onto the scene and then you win the national title and you're competing at the international level, the world level, how do you manage the pressure and the expectations that start to come along with that?
For starters, I do believe in God. Mm-hmm. And so anything that does happen to me, I have to give him glory, whether it's good or bad, because I believe it'll all work out because he has a plan for me. And most times I try not to compete with other people. Like, I'm not the type of person who will necessarily look to see what other people are doing all the time. Sometimes I might be interested to see what's happening. She threw this, she threw that. Yeah, that's cool. But for majority of the time, I try not to necessarily look at other people's marks, because I try to think, just complete with myself. As long as I do better than what I was doing before, that's a good day. That's a great day, actually. And so, yeah.
Love that. Great perspective. So you guys just had the regional meet, and The four women that competed in the javelin for Nebraska track and field, all four qualify for the NCAA championships, and then the two men also. So you go 6 for 6 in the javelin. Mm-hmm. How special was that last week for you guys and the group of javelin throwers?
I think that was amazing. Obviously, we all hope and expect great things from ourselves, but to actually go there and perform and execute the way we wanted to, we were all too happy with the results. And, you know, some people shed tears, happy tears, obviously. But it does definitely just puts into perspective what we've been doing up until this point. And, you know, it's great stuff.
To put into perspective, there's only three programs, women's programs, that have four athletes competing in events at the NCAA championship. So you guys are one of three programs that have four athletes that will be competing. And, you know, as a group, and I know you guys expect that, but how much pride do you take in that you guys are doing something that not a lot of people, not a lot of programs can say they can do?
Obviously, yeah, that definitely does tell us that we got something going on that not a lot of other people probably have. And so, yeah, it's amazing.
You guys were confident, right?
Yes, we were confident. Yeah. And it definitely was like a wow factor, but it was like, it's beyond that because we know we have it in us and we did it. You know what I mean? And so I think it's amazing, but I also try not to be too surprised because we had it in us, you know?
Right. Yeah. So how helpful is that? Because it is an individual sport, mm-hmm. and you are competing against yourself and beating your personal records, but to have three other teammates that are going to be with you on this stage, how helpful is that?
Oh, it is definitely very helpful and very inspiring. You know, if somebody might be down, someone will literally be right on the side of them to pick them up, you know, and that's always very encouraging. But it gives you a whole lot more confidence going into it, knowing that you're not going to be doing it by yourself. And it makes it feel more like, I don't know, more welcoming, a more enjoyable experience. Yeah.
So we talked about Justin Sinclair and him playing a role in you coming here, but the proof is in the pudding, right? And he's got athletes that are also competing that have already qualified for Olympics. So what is it about him that sets him apart, that makes him such an elite jav coach?
I think definitely his experience in javelin specifically. You know, he was a jav throw himself, and then his experience in the sport as a whole definitely does play a role in what he could teach us and what wisdom he could share with us. To me, he also seemed to be a type of person that I could sit down and talk with and have a conversation and be like, hey, coach, I don't necessarily like how this is feeling. Maybe you could explain this a little bit more. Maybe you could tell me why we're doing this exact drill. Like, what does this help? So you could communicate with him and you could learn kind of more of what you're doing. So maybe it'll stick with you a little better. And he also keeps a pretty cool head in situations where even I tend to freak out. Like, I'll never forget regionals last year. I started freaking out a little bit because I was like, I have one more throw. I'm not sitting in a good position. And I like took a look at him and he was just like, he just gave me a nod. He was like, just go for it type of situation. And I think that definitely helps me to stay more calm and reserved and evidently perform better. But I think those attributes do help. Yeah.
Love that. So once you win the national title and you start doing these things for your home country, and you know, just it's such a proud country. You and I were talking before. I have worked with an athlete from the Bahamas, and it was really cool to see the amount of support. How special is that? How much pride do you take in that, and not only representing Nebraska but representing the Bahamas?
I think it's an amazing honor that I have on my shoulder. Like, I love the support, just like you mentioned. It is unlike any other. Like, the minute something happens, like, somebody back home posts it, and I get, like, a bunch of messages for him, and congratulations, Rima, we're so proud of you. Like, stuff along those lines. But it is encouraging, and it's a wonderful experience. I love it, yeah.
So what has it been like then when you came to Nebraska? Had you been here before your visit? And then what do you think when you moved here? It kind of gets a little cold. What do you think of the snow?
So I only came here on my visit. That was the one and only time that I ventured into Nebraska. And I came when it was warm. So I was like, oh, this is toasty. Everybody's telling me it's going to be cold, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. And it was cold. It was really, really cold. And I must say, I'm not the biggest fan of the winter here, but it comes and goes, and I get endured enough to get my practices in, get my training in, and I don't know. I like Nebraska. It's full of a lot of nice people. Like, people were telling me it's the Nebraska nice that you've been experiencing, but I love the people here, like I said. The winter, not my favorite, but all in all, I enjoy my time.
So what did you think of the snow?
It was beautiful. The first time I saw this, being in Nebraska, was the first time I've ever seen snow in
really?
My life. Yep. And I'll never forget when just the flurries were coming down, and I was freaking out. I was walking out of the library, and they started coming down, and I started recording, and I was like sending it to my family. I was like, guys, it's snowing. But it was only the little flurries. And then when the real snow came, like, I just was bewildered by how beautiful I thought it was. You know, it was just, even in the night seemed brighter because of the snow on the floor. You know? And then after maybe 3 days, then I was like, oh, it's cold, you know. But I think it's beautiful, yeah.
You just graduated, and I know the academics part was really important to you. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that and why that was an important part of your student-athlete experience.
So growing up, I was taught by my aunts of the importance of an education. They would always drill into me, like, whatever skill you have, whatever thing you could do, it's all fine and it's dandy and it's nice, but something that nobody could ever take from you would be your education, something that's in your mind, you know? And so from that, even when I was in high school, they would always be like, make sure your grades up, make sure you're focusing on your education, you know, because I had been balancing being a student athlete from, like, even before I came to college, but obviously college was up a notch, and so I really wanted to get into a program that was going to give me the major that I want, actuarial science, which is in a common major in most colleges, unfortunately, but I wanted to make sure that I could get to school like that, which in Nebraska is, and Nebraska has an amazing actuarial science program, like truly amazing. And so when I saw how nice the program was, even from like from just like my first 2-3 weeks, I was already getting the experience that I had wanted from when I entered college to begin with, but unfortunately wasn't able to. But I thought it was amazing, and yeah, definitely education is something that is ingrained in me to be something to look out for, or to stay on top of, yeah.
So tell us about your degree and why you were interested in that. And you said it was rare, but tell us about it a little bit.
Okay, so I first learned about actuarial science when I was in high school, like maybe 11th or 12th grade, when I went to a kind of career fair. And at first I saw the name and I didn't know what it was. And I remember a friend on the side of me was like, oh, that's a really good career to look into. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll look into it. And I kind of decided that was the avenue I wanted to, like, I guess, walk along, because I wanted to do something along the mathematics route. Because I was like, science, I like science, but I don't know if that's really something I really enjoy to maybe pursue as a career. And then I was like, I don't know if I want to do something with too much writing. I think math is the avenue I want to take. And so I looked into the degree after my fellow classmate pointed it out to me. And I was like, oh, it has something with math, something with statistics, probability. Maybe it'll be okay. I don't know. A lot of people tend to say statistics is very intimidating and stuff. And so I was like worried, but I was like, maybe I'll try it out. And so I did. I started looking into it. And even when I entered college, I still didn't have a complete understanding of what it was, but I decided to do a degree that kind of would steer me onto that route of, like, what I thought would prepare me at the time for actuarial science, or for being an actuary. And it was, like, mathematical science with more so a concentration in statistics, because I think that was, like, the closest thing that I had at my previous institution. And then I started taking more statistics courses, and I was like, oh, I really like statistics. Maybe this is the avenue I should go down. And then I transferred to Nebraska, and I was actually in the actuarial science courses. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I think this definitely is what I want to be. It was hard now. It was really hard. But, yeah, it was the avenue that I still want to pursue.
That's amazing. I've never met anybody with that degree. So you like numbers then? You're a numbers person.
Somewhat. I tolerate numbers. That's what I like to say.
Mm-hmm. So you just graduated. You had a bunch of family come. Mm-hmm. How awesome was that to walk across the stage to get that degree and to have family here?
It was amazing. Anytime that they are able to make events that I have, I always feel super loved. And I told them that. I was like, oh my gosh, I love that you guys came down. I love that you guys always try to support me in every which way. But they came down, they brought over some Bahamian food, and I was like, oh, it was almost like they brought a bit of home to me. And so that always was very comforting, but I felt extremely loved and I loved them.
How many people came?
I think it might have been 9 people. I think 9 people came.
That's amazing. What did they think of Nebraska?
They thought, initially, they were really worried about the weather. They was like, is it going to be really cold? Please help me with the weather. It's like, do I need to pack a bunch of thick coats or something? I was like, no, I promise you, you'll be all right. It's warm down here. It's hot, actually. And so they looked around. They were really interested in the corn, because that's a big thing that everybody knows Nebraska for. Uh-huh. So when they came down, they were looking for all the corn in the fields, and it was like, we don't see any corn. And I was like, I can't tell you why it is you guys don't see corn, but there's no corn out right now. And then they met somebody, I think it was their neighbor, at the place they were staying, and they were explaining to them that every other year they plant corn, and every other year, like, they decide to let the soil rest. And so they was like, oh, that's how come we don't see any corn. But they enjoyed the place. They thought it was pretty nice. And hopefully they'll come back out again.
What did they think of the football stadium?
They think it was really good. I kid you not, the football stadium, in my opinion, was one. Nebraska's football stadium is one of the best stadiums I've ever seen. And I was really impressed. That was one of the things that stood out to me on my visit, too. But they really liked it as well.
I love that. Mm-hmm. So you said they brought some Bahamian food. We were chatting before we were recording. And the conch, what else? What else is your favorite?
They brought over crawfish. But it's not actually a crawfish. It's a spiny lobster. Mm-hmm. But we call it crawfish back home. So they brought over crawfish. Then they had grouper. They had snappers. What else did they do? That was the main meats that they brought over. And then they did, like, crab and rice. Oh, so good.
So good.
Yeah, so good. Crab and rice, and then they did some coleslaw, and they did some fried plantain. It was great. 10 out of 10.
I mean, we were chatting, and I've been out there one time, and the food is so good. I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's circle back and talk this week, because you guys got 19 athletes that will be competing there at the NCAA championships all next week, starting Wednesday. But you guys are going Thursday. Mm-hmm. What, you've been there, you've done it, you've stayed at the top of the podium, but you got 3 other teammates that are going to be competing too. What what goes into maybe you guys having a great showing out there at the NCAA championships?
I think just trusting what we've been working on, you know, and staying confident in our abilities. You know, sometimes, most times, when you go and compete, it's a mental battle before it's a physical one. And so just trusting what we've been doing, staying confident, and being aggressive, and just going out there and showing the reason why you made it this far, you know. And so that's kind of what we're going to focus on. And then brush up on any technical things that we might have been struggling with recently. But, yeah.
Well, and, you know, we just talked about a lot of different things, but what has it meant to you to be a Husker, to wear the uniform to represent Nebraska?
I think it's definitely something to take a lot of pride in. I think the school in general, like the support and all the resources and just experience on a whole, is just another level. Like, I enjoyed every bit of it, and I hope that more and more people could hopefully become a Husker themselves. Like, it's amazing.
We also talked about, too, just, you know, the support you get from the Bahamas and the people there. But what kind of example, what message do you hope to send, to set, to be to some young Bahamian girls that might want to come to college and be a college athlete here in the United States and maybe go on to even maybe be an Olympian one day?
Mm-hmm. I just want to express the importance of, like, discipline and hard work. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, God, like, for me, God has been the one that helped pave my way to where I'm at right now. And so definitely express the importance of that. But hard work, Making sure you stay dedicated, making sure you stay disciplined. Discipline is a big thing. And so once you incorporate those things, I think you'd basically be unstoppable, you know. But never doubt your dreams, you know. Like, I think the sky is the limit. I think you should never doubt in your capabilities, because I think you could accomplish a lot more than you might even imagine. Yeah.
Love that. Great, great advice and perspective. Rima Oteiba, thank you so much for being here. Congratulations on all your success in the classroom and on the track. And best of luck coming up next week at the NCAA Championships.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Huskers Radio Network podcast and Cornhusker Conversation presented by Teammates Mentoring. Be there for a student in your local community by going to teammates.org. And make sure you subscribe and like wherever you listen to never miss an episode right here on the Huskers Radio Network podcast.